You are Locked On Dodgers, your daily Los Angeles Dodgers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
So I say D, I say D-O, D-O-D, D-O-D-G. D-O-D-G-E-R-S.
Hello, Dodger fans. Welcome to Locked On Dodgers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, the number one local sports daily podcast network. Locked On, your team every day. Today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room. Download the app and join Vince and me weekly to get in on the action. Locker Room, changing the way we talk sports. Locked On Dodgers is the daily podcast covering the world champion Los Angeles Dodgers, bringing you the smart fans' perspective on our boys in blue. I am Jeff Snyder of Baseball Essential, flying solo today. Vince, due to his real job, was covering the NFL draft today and is kind of tuckered out from that. So, and let's face it, this wasn't a very fun game to talk about. So I'm flying solo today to talk a little bit about the Dodgers losing 2-1 to the Brewers. You know, the bright side is they didn't get shut out. They scratched out one run with two outs in the ninth inning to avoid the shutout, keep that streak going. But other than that, not much good to say about this game. But we're going to talk a little bit about, Trevor Bauer's performance and then some stuff kind of just on the periphery. He's going to talk about Zach McKinstry, whether he really is the key to this team, talk about some news with Bruce Dargratterall, talk about why the freak the Dodgers can't hit Eric Lauer, etc., etc. So that's the plan for today. But first, I want to remind you, please follow us wherever you get your podcasts. And when you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. All right, I guess let's start with the news first. Before the game on Thursday, the Dodgers announced they were placing Bruce Dargratterall on the injured list. It was very shortly before the game, and Dave Roberts said the decision came close to game time, that he thinks it probably happened during warm-ups. It's tough to tell. You know, it was forearm tightness, and that's always concerning with a pitcher. The forearm is very closely connected to the elbow, and forearm issues often lead to or are symptoms of elbow problems. And with Bruce Dar, with his history of health with his arm, it's I don't know if it's extra concerning with him, but it's definitely concerning. And Dave Roberts didn't really know much. He said yesterday he felt like he could pitch, and today he felt like he couldn't. And he said, we wanted to make sure we take care of the player, and if he feels like he can't throw, be proactive and put him on the IL. Not knowing what was going to happen tonight with the bullpen game tomorrow, it was an easy decision. And so, it sounds like, at least according to Roberts, they are being proactive. Basically the opposite of what we've seen sometimes with, I won't name any names, but let's just say a certain team that plays at a different Dodger stadium, the one slightly south of Los Angeles, putting players on the injured list as a precaution. Basically Gratterall felt some discomfort, and, so at least there's hope that possibly it really was just something super minor and the Dodgers just being proactive. Of course, with the forearm thing, it's always possible that it is a symptom of something major, and obviously we hope that's not the case. Gratterall, we haven't really gotten anything from him yet this year, but he was definitely a guy who we were all excited about coming into the year. That makes either 5 or 7 pitchers on the injured list for the Dodgers right now, depending on how you count them. 2 of them are Caleb Ferguson and Tommy Canley, who are both recovering from Tommy John surgery, but there are 5 others besides them: David Price, Tony Gonsolin, Bruce Dargratterall, Joe Kelly, and somebody else who I don't remember right now, that I'm sure it's somebody important. And I know it's somebody important. And so there's issues right now with the pitching, with the bullpen, and it's a bummer. But hopefully Gratterall will be okay. Hopefully it really was just precautionary, and he'll be off in 10 days, and everything will be fine. That's it for the news. The other thing I guess I'll lump in here is after the game, Trevor Bauer. So Trevor Bauer went 8 innings, pitched a complete game in the loss, allowed just the 2-run home run to Travis Shaw, son of former Dodger Jeff Shaw. Where's your loyalty, Travis? And that was all that he allowed. He pitched a really good game, threw about 110 pitches. And he joked after the game, and it's hard to tell if he was joking, but he said that after Roberts pulled him after 6 innings last time, that Roberts promised him a complete game this time. And somebody asked Roberts about that, and Roberts kind of smiled and said, I think promise is kind of a strong word. So it wasn't necessarily promised to him, but it seems like they were doing each other a favor, because the fact is the Dodgers are having a bullpen game today, Friday. And so having a game on Thursday where no relievers had to come in the game, Garrett Clevinger is the only reliever who warmed up, they really do come into this bullpen game with a fully rested bullpen, which is a good thing. They do have a few guys who can hopefully go a couple innings each, whether it's Mitch White, or they activate Edwin Uceta when they put Gratterall on the injured list. They've got some freshness there. So it really was a good thing. Bauer obviously wants to pitch as much as possible. He would never come out of a game if it was up to him. So it was fun for him to get a complete game, even in a losing cause. And it was definitely big for the Dodgers. I think it was one of those things. And I think this is the case most of the time in baseball, that most of the things a baseball player can do that are good for their personal stats are also good for the team. And that's not the case in most sports. If LeBron James takes 40 shots in a game, those are shots that another guy on his team is not taking. And so a basketball player who's going for his points isn't necessarily helping the team. Obviously, if he's making them all, then he is. But you can't judge, basically, in football, if you've got a wide receiver that wants every ball passed to him, well, every ball that's passed to him isn't passed to somebody else or handed off to somebody else. And so it's a zero-sum game. But in baseball, you only have one pitcher. You only have one batter at a time. So batters, we hear it with hitters a lot that, this guy's only interested in his personal stats. But, if this guy is interested in padding his numbers every time he's up to the plate, almost all the time, that's a good thing. Now, there's certain times when there are different opinions on which stats are valuable. And so there is a little bit of wiggle room there. But for the most part, anything a batter can do to pad his stats is good for the team. Same with the pitcher. Trevor Bauer pitching a complete game looks good on his stats, and it was huge for the Dodgers. So, it's one of those things where you're looking for silver linings. They lost again. They've lost now 8 of their last 11 games, I think. They are pretty bad right now. They came perilously close to getting shut out for the first time in a year and a half. So we're looking for silver linings, but Bauer throwing a complete game, being willing and able to throw 110 pitches, and Roberts letting him do that, is definitely a silver lining going into this bullpen game today. One other silver lining is that the Brewers placed Corbin Burnes on the injured list. They were very cagey about what it was, which means it's something COVID-related. And so there's a chance that if it's just vaccine-related, he could still be back and start for the Brewers in this series. But as of right now, he's on the injured list, so that could help the Dodgers in this series. So, we're hoping to pull out a sweep in this, a split. We were hoping for a sweep. Now we'll settle for a split, I guess. If Burnes is really on the injured list for this series, that would be a good thing for the Dodgers. Obviously, we don't wish injury on anybody. But anyway, I'm going to come back in a minute. I'm going to talk a little bit about Eric Lauer and why the Dodgers can't hit him for some reason. So keep it locked on Dodgers. Have you guys heard about Sports Trade? It's where fantasy sports meets the stock market. It's amazing. Sports Trade takes fantasy to the next level. It's like Robin Hood, but for fantasy sports. Their platform allows you to buy and sell shares in your favorite players, just like real stocks. Finally, a fair and exciting way to cash in on your knowledge of sports. And they just added baseball to the platform, so check it out today. Making money with Sports Trade is as simple as player values rise and fall based on two factors. One, their statistical performance in each game compared to their projected fantasy points in that game. The more points scored, the higher the value goes. And two, good old supply and demand, baby. The more demand a player has, the higher their value goes. When you're ready to buy shares, pick that penny stock in a rookie with huge upside, or grab that blue chip vet who's always a solid performer. Instantly buy and sell as many shares and as many players as you like, just like the stock market. Then watch your players battle and your portfolio value rise. Simply go to sportstrade.com, watch the How It Works video, and then sign up to get started. Sign up today at sportstrade.com and discover the fun, exciting, and profitable new world of sports trading. This is truly the evolution of fantasy sports. You will be amazed. Don't sit on the sidelines any longer. Get in the game at sportstrade.com. This episode is also brought to you by 1010, a capsule collection of diamond rings that are responsibly sourced, limited edition designs at fair price points. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 creative styles of diamond rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today, rings sure to bring joy into her life. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 female design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful ring. Ideal for engagement, Mother's Day, or simply a beautiful conversation piece, they're the perfect way to bring light into her life. They're available now through Mother's Day only on BlueNile.com. Just search the words 10x10. This collection features high-quality fine jewelry that will surprise and delight and fairly priced so you can give her something special and truly meaningful. One of my favorites I was looking at is by the designer named Harwell Godfrey from San Francisco, and the design style says strong geometry, and I love it. It's very geometric. It's very proportional, and it's just really, really a beautiful diamond ring, gold. I really, really like it. So if you're on the hunt for the perfect unique ring she'll treasure forever, you're definitely going to want to check this out. They won't be around for long, so find them now by searching the words 10x10 only at BlueNile.com. All right, so the Dodgers faced Eric Lauer on Thursday for like the eighth time in his career, and he dominated them again. His ERA against the Dodgers in his career now is down to like 1.93, and against everybody else, it's, I think, 5.19, something ridiculous like that. And, you know, it's easy to say, well, for some reason, the Dodgers can't hit Eric Lauer. But honestly, next time they face Eric Lauer, I'm going to like their chances just like I did today. It didn't work out today, but I'm going to like their chances because at the end of the day, the Dodgers are good hitters and Eric Lauer isn't a very good pitcher. And I like my chances there. And honestly, I don't think the success that Lauer has had against Kike Hernandez and Matt Kemp and David Freese and Alex Verdugo and Yasiel Puig and some of those guys has any bearing on what the Dodgers are doing right now. But one thought that I did have that I guess might explain some of it is the Dodgers have a current manager who is a big fan of platoons, shall we say. They had a previous manager. Their last manager was also a fan of platoons. I don't know when Eric Lauer started pitching. I don't know if it was, I'm just going to look, 2018. So this is all just Dave Roberts, I guess. Don Mattingly doesn't play into this. But Roberts likes his platoons, and we saw it today. The Dodgers had a lineup of seven right-handed hitters, plus Corey Seager and Max Muncy. But looking at Lauer's career splits, he's actually better against right-handed hitters. And I wonder if, you know, obviously if Cody Bellinger was healthy, he would have been playing. If Zach McKinstry was healthy, he might have been playing, although I'm not sure where, because, you know, AJ Pollock, the one thing he does is hit lefties. So there's that. But, you know, they would have had at least Bellinger in the lineup. But stacking the lineup with righties against Eric Lauer might not be the answer. And I wonder if that does have something to do with why he's had more success against the Dodgers. Now, to be clear, Lauer isn't good against righties or lefties. He's better against righties, but he's not good against righties. And so it still doesn't explain a 1.93 ERA because he's still a pretty bad pitcher by major league standards. Obviously, he's better than me. I know. I never made the big leagues, blah, 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 blah. I'm not saying he's bad compared to the rest of the world, but compared to most major league pitchers, Eric Lauer is bad. And so I honestly believe today's game was the Dodgers being in an offensive slump and facing Eric Lauer at a beneficial time for him. I do not think Eric Lauer has the Dodgers number, even though, you know, the very small sample size of eight games says differently. Eric Lauer is, for whatever reason, whether it has to do with platoons or luck or him, you know, playing up to the Dodgers level, whatever it is, he has done well against the Dodgers. But if the Dodgers face Eric Lauer again this year, I'm going to like their chances because he still won't be a very good pitcher and they will be a good hitting team. And hopefully, if it happens again, they will not still be in this offensive slump. They better not still be in this offensive slump. They might be in a different offensive slump, but if they are still in this offensive slump the next time they have a series with the Brewers, things have gone horribly wrong. But when it comes down to it, I just don't think that Eric Lauer's performance in 2018 against the Dodgers really says much about how he's going to do in 2021 against the Dodgers. I thought that going into this game, I was I won't say I was wrong. I was not right. The Dodgers didn't perform well, but I don't think it's because Eric Lauer is a magic Dodger killer. I guess that's what I'm getting at. So, yeah, I hope the Dodgers do face Lauer again, because in general, I would like it when the Dodgers face pitchers who aren't very good, even if they haven't had success against them in the past. We saw it with Ty Block a year or two ago, that he had their number, and then they just woke up and realized, oh, crap, this is Ty Block. We should knock him around. And they did. And they're going to do the same thing with Eric Lauer, whether it's next time they face him or the time after that or the time after that or the time after that. At some point in my lifetime, they are going to knock Eric Lauer around like every other team in baseball has done. And you can take that to the bank if that, you know, I don't know what the bank will tell you about that, but I think they'll say you're in the wrong place. Maybe take it to Sports Trade. That was one of our advertisers. You can, maybe, I don't know if you could bet against anybody at Sports Trade. I guess you could only bet on people. But yeah, next time the Dodgers are facing Lauer, go ahead and buy some stock in whoever's facing him, because the Dodgers are going to break out against Lauer at some point. And, you know, and that'll be nice, because let's face it, we're all tired of watching this dude dominate the Dodgers. And it's even more frustrating than when a good pitcher does it, because good pitcher dominating the Dodgers, you can understand. Bad pitcher dominating the Dodgers, it's like, come on. So anyway, the Dodgers didn't get anything done. They had some bad luck. They hit some balls hard. They had an inning against Devin Williams where they had two hits and a walk and a ball that had a 580 expected batting average. And somehow out of those four things, they got two outs and a runner on first, which is, you know, frustrating. So it is what it is. And, you know, there are other defensive plays. It seems like everybody turns into gold glovers when they play the Dodgers. And I assume that luck has to change at some point. The Dodgers might get some beneficial luck, good luck when it comes to opponent's defense at some point. But for now, it's frustrating, and it adds to all the frustration of the Dodgers just being kind of lousy right now. And for the first time since a couple days into the season, the Dodgers are not in first place. The Giants didn't play on Thursday, and they went into the day tied, so the Dodgers are officially a half game behind the Giants, and that is that's a bummer. But the good news is they play again today, and so do the Giants. So by the end of today, they could be a half game ahead of the Giants. And, you know, the next winning streak is always just one or two games away. So the Dodgers are going to be okay. I know I'm overly optimistic sometimes, but I think it's pretty clear that the Dodgers are a better team than the Giants. Some increased health would definitely help with that. I'm going to talk about that in a minute, specifically with Zach McKinstry. But overall, the Dodgers are a very good team, and they're going to be okay. They just got to survive this slump and figure out how to get out of it. So stick around. I'm going to come back and talk a little bit about Zach McKinstry and how bad they need him. So keep it locked on Dodgers. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. You know that. We've told you before. All the flavors are good. If you look at the list of flavors, go to builtbar.com, look at what they have. You're going to find something that sounds really good to you, because they just have too many options, something for everybody's taste. If you like carrot cake, they have a carrot cake Built Bar. If you like apple almond crisp, they have one of those. You like mint brownie, who doesn't like mint brownie? They have one of those. They've got 18 or 20 different flavors. They're all covered in 100% chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, and they are so healthy for you. They are low calorie, low carb, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. They're good for the keto diet, and not many foods can say that. You know, just an example, the coconut almond bar, 18 grams of protein, only 180 calories, only 5 grams of sugar, 5 grams of net carbs. That's ridiculous. You can eat it, feel like you're eating a candy bar, but at the end, you don't have to feel guilty because it was healthy. If you're trying to lose weight, gain weight, build muscle, whatever you're trying to do, Built Bar can help you do it. And if you go to builtbar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, you will get 15% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at builtbar.com. All right, let's talk a little bit about Zach McKinstry. I saw somebody, Doug McCain from Dodgers Nation, tweeted out, said, the Dodgers need Zach McKinstry back in the worst way. Dodgers record before McKinstry went on the IL, 14-4. Record since he went on the IL, 2-6. And that's basically what it boils down to. You know, now obviously the question of, you know, correlation does not necessarily equal causation. But the fact is McKinstry was one of their most consistent hitters for putting up a good at bat, a good major league at bat. And we've seen a lot of lack of that. You know, we've seen whether it was Raley or Rios or, you know, some of those guys who are just really, really struggling to put up any sort of professional at bat. McKinstry would have been taking a lot of those at bats. McKinstry, he can play all over the field. He fires people up. He hits line drives. A lot of things where if I'm not saying the Dodgers would have had the same winning percentage if McKinstry was healthy, but I do think they would be better than 2-6 in their last eight games since he got hurt. I think they would be playing better baseball and better, just overall putting up better innings. And right now it seems like, you know, they'll get two outs and then get a couple runners on, but you know, you got to start your rallies earlier, et cetera, et cetera. Just things that having Zach McKinstry in the lineup can really solidify, lengthen that lineup to where there aren't any black holes except for the pitcher spot, because for some reason we don't have a universal DH. Getting Bellinger back would do that same thing. Bellinger, obviously a totally different kind of player than McKinstry, but Bellinger has the ability to change any game with one swing. And when he's on, he's that same kind of hitter. He is going to give you a good at bat. Obviously, Bellinger is prone to some slumps, but overall, he's a positive. Having McKinstry and Bellinger in this lineup would definitely be lengthening out this lineup, making it a much more formidable opponent. And basically, the Dodgers would be playing better if they were fully healthy. Then the flip side is the health in the bullpen, where they've blown some games late, and or at least been in games and lost them because they didn't, you know, they couldn't close them out. And so a healthy bullpen and healthy McKinstry and Bellinger would definitely be helping this team. Now, as you know, injuries are a part of baseball. I'm not saying it's unfair that the Dodgers don't have these guys, that they're not, you know, I'm not saying any of that. I've joked with the Padres fans who say the only reason the Dodgers beat the Padres last year in the postseason is because Clevinger and what's his name? Why can I never remember Denelson Lamet's name? Clevinger and Lamet were hurt. And, you know, I joke, oh yeah, the Padres, the first team ever to deal with injuries. So, you know, I'm not making excuses here. I'm saying I can't wait for McKinstry and Bellinger to be back so that we can see what the Dodgers can actually do. I hope that the bullpen guys start coming back, getting healthier, so that we can have a bullpen we kind of have some trust in. There's a lot of health issues right now. And if, you know, if we're just getting in that out of the way so that they get those all out of the way in April so that they can be healthy in October, that's great. Unfortunately, that's not how it works either. They're just as likely to have injuries later in the season when it matters even more. But right now, a healthy team, getting back healthy would help a lot. The hard part is we don't have any idea when McKinstry or Bellinger will be back, because Bellinger's got this weird stress fracture or hairline fracture that seems like nobody knows how long those take to heal. And McKinstry has an oblique injury, which obliques are like notoriously a pain to get totally healed. Guys think they're healed and then they take a swing and it's back. And so you got to be really careful with an oblique. So both of those injuries, they're having to be really careful with. And it's hard because when the offense isn't performing and you see, man, they would really be helped by having Bellinger and McKinstry, it's really frustrating that not having any idea when they're going to be back. So at some point, even before those guys are back, the guys who are here are going to have to step up. And I think we're going to see that. We did see Muncy hit the ball hard a couple times on Thursday, which was a good sign. He took a walk. He had a hard ground out on a really nice play, and he had a base hit. When he needed to get a hit, he hit a weak ground out, so that was frustrating. But you know, you don't expect perfection from anybody. But you know, if Max Muncy can shake out of his offensive funk and start hitting the ball hard when he is getting strikes, you know, Corey Seager is too good a hitter to continue slumping much longer. The same is true for Mookie Betts if he's healthy, which we don't really know. So there's plenty of potential there for the Dodgers to break out of this offensive slump, even without McKinstry and Bellinger. But getting McKinstry and Bellinger back would lengthen that lineup out and make it decrease the chances of everybody slumping at once. Because when you, right now they have like four major league hitters in the lineup every day. And so the chance of four guys slumping is a lot higher than the chances of seven or eight guys slumping at once. So it can be frustrating, but things are going to turn the corner. And that's kind of, I don't have much else to say besides that. And I wish I had some proof for you, but I do promise you things are going to get better. The Dodgers are still close to first place, still close to the best record in baseball. And that's when they've been playing terribly. So they're going to come through. And even if they get back to playing, you know, almost as well as they can play, they're going to dominate the league. It's just a matter of getting there, getting through this tough time. And remember, not every bad at bat is the result of a bad approach. Not every out is the result of swinging for the fences. It's easy to ascribe character flaws to losing, but most of the time losing is just losing. It's not a lack of effort. It's not a lack of intensity or urgency. It's just a slump. And that's what the Dodgers are going through right now. So anyway, that's about all I have to say for today. This wraps it up for this week. You know, the Dodgers have three more games with the Brewers. Hopefully they can, you know, maybe even win the series, maybe win the next three games. Definitely, hopefully win two out of three, get a split. And, go into the next series, at least with a little bit of momentum, get back in first place, all those things. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. So thank you all for listening. Thank you for listening regularly. If you're not listening every day, we would love it if you add one or two days a week to your rotation. We would love to bump up those numbers a little bit. If you have friends who are Dodger fans or family, go ahead and tell them about us. You know, we're here every single weekday morning, and it's a fun routine to get into if you are looking to hear people talk about the Dodgers every morning, because that's what we're doing. So thanks for listening. You can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Locked On Dodgers. Vince is on Twitter at Vince Samperio. I'm on Twitter at Snydog, and the DMs are open in all of those places. Our email address is lockedondodgers@gmail.com, and our phone number for voicemails or texts is 323-863-LOCK-5625. We are here every weekday morning, and we hope you'll be here with us. When you get in your car or sit on your couch, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On Dodgers. And remember, you don't have to agree. You just have to listen. We'll talk to you on Monday. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts.
D. I say D-O. D-O-D-G-E-R-S. The team that's all heart, all heart and all thumbs, they're my Los Angeles, your Los Angeles, our Los Angeles. Do you think we'll really win the pennant? Bye!